Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 20 edition of Commodity Week. Well, the week ended up with some reversals. We'll talk about those, the cattle on feed numbers, and so much more today with our guest, Ed Ossett, an ag economist at the University of Minnesota. Our panelists today in studio include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing is on the line with us as well. He's right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, I am Todd Gleason. Let's begin our discussion this afternoon, Kurt Kimmel, with this question. As you looked at the key reversal that showed up in the November soybeans, that's an outside up, that is, at $12.31.5, up 10 and a quarter on the week, Friday to Friday, did it give you any better feeling, maybe more positive about that marketplace?
Well, definitely the lower trade and comeback closing higher. Momentum indicators are up. It suggests the technical guys should stay on it, especially going above 1230. That's positive there. So it's this stage go 1250 and maybe go back up and test 1275. So the technicians are ready to push this thing in here. If we can come in here and hold together Sunday night, Monday, then plus two, we saw some export business pick up too on this break in through here. So things are ripe in here to test the upside here first part next week.
The technical guys, does that include you, or was that a disclaimer in the process?
Now, it seems the technical action takes hold, then the fundamental news tries to follow here. But if you look at the beans on the larger scale, the big chart, we've actually been in a sideways trading range here for a few weeks. And so we need some follow through and some commitment.
Bill Mayer, you agree with that? Need follow through and commitment in the bean market?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with what Kurt's saying, and I think a point that he made there is that the technicals kind of point the direction whenever you're in a situation where really the fundamentals haven't changed a whole lot here in the last 2 or 3 weeks at least. I think we talked about this morning, Todd, on the early show there, that 1230 area, and it was nice to see a close above that. I would agree with Kurt on the 1250, but I'm not sure we can get to the 1275. If I was making targets for sales, I'd probably look at the 1250 and have at least some incremental sale there.
Bean meal finished off $8.70. Any concern that that market dropped off? I know that the Chinese have stopped taking some DDGs, and it's had an impact in the marketplace. What do you see for bean meal and how it plays into the soybeans in general? Wayne Nelson.
Well, I think that as we look at all this, Todd, we see that the DDGs are affecting the bean meal market here in the U.S. because the DDGs are much more available. We also saw that that was the inflated market of the whole thing, and I do think that there's a lot of been reluctance on the end user to be picking up the meal over the next 4 to 5 weeks, and so as some of that sets back, it's time for it to set back just a little bit.
Do we have a better handle yet, Kurt? And I know we will get these numbers at the end of the month on acreage and what producers have done with soybeans.
Well, on the bean side, ideas are we're a little higher. I wouldn't be surprised on that. Then, two, the main thing is the weather and whether or not we get those actual double crop acres in the south. But what's going to boil down to on acreage is harvested acres on whether or not these areas get flooded out.
Hey, Bill Mayer, it was a really good week in terms of exports for beans. Did that surprise you?
Somewhat, yeah. It was certainly a good week. I think that had to do with value again. I think we got down there some values that looked pretty attractive. And just to follow up on your double crop, we had our biweekly conference call, and one of the guys in Kentucky said the combine's in the same field with the planter as far as the double crop beans right now.
Yeah, so they had that. Did they say how their wheat crop was doing there?
It was very good. The wheat crop's very good. A little bit of problems with some vomitoxin, and we probably see that get better as we move north. I think a lot of the rain they got there right at the wrong time kind of caused some of that vomitoxin problems.
And any other takeaways from that meeting you hear about weather and rainfall in the northwestern part of the United States and what kind of problems it was creating?
Well, it was, certainly have some problems in especially central Minnesota. I talked to a client up there yesterday, and he said they keep saying this system is going to move to the east and get to you guys. He said, I hope it does pretty soon. But, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag because the stuff that is in the ground and not sitting there in the ponds looks very good. I mean, that's kind of the common thread, it seemed like, through most of the country is what they did get in the ground and up, and that looks pretty good.
Okay, so we've got several things, Wayne Nelson, that look are at least trying to point to a better marketplace for soybeans. One of the last things was a story from earlier in the week. Argentina may be in problem. Again, a default potential on the world marketplace. They provide some soybeans, of course, to the U.S., or to the world, and corn as well. Is that supportive short-term or longer-term, or is it just...
That's more supportive short-term, Todd, in the respect that the farmers see their countries in trouble. That means their dollar is in trouble, which means they want to hold their beans until they can price whatever their inputs are going to be for the next year, whatever they want to buy. So they become reluctant sellers in the short term here. So I think that does sort of tighten things up a little bit that way. I think the most important thing we've got looking at us in the next week is what happens in Iraq, what happens in the Ukraine, and then again, what the government says on Friday.
Yeah, Ukraine continues to export a whole lot of grain from their ports this year. I suppose that could slacken up at some point, but it hasn't yet.
No, they seem to have some common sense about not wanting to destroy that, even if they fight for different things over there. The bad part that we saw for this week was that the Russian troops are again mounting on the border. But the good thing we saw was the Ukrainian president said, ceasefire now unless you're shot at.
July corn this week, reversal to the upside. We'll come back to you, Kurt Kimmel, on that one. It finished 6.25 cents higher at $4.53 and a quarter. Not a bad week, I suppose, for the corn, although it seems funny we talk about 6.25 cents not being a bad week, but that was a drop in the bucket a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah, we're seeing some renewed interest. The corn's been sharply oversold here. They bought beans, sold corn, bought the Dow, sold corn. They bought everything in the world and sold corn, but corn demand's starting to pick up a little bit. You talk to these ethanol guys, you know, ethanol margins are real good. Feeders are starting to come in and get some coverage in on through here, so corn's kind of in a position here to try the upside. D's above this 450 area, so it opens the door maybe march on up towards this 466 area. That'd be the next area here if we stay above 4.5.
Hey, Bill Mayer, when we talked with Ben Pruce out of the Andersons on Friday afternoon, we discussed locomotives, the ability to move corn ethanol out of the plants there. He said the locomotives are being put in place, so they have more power. Does that mean when you talked on those that conference that you heard things were going to get better there?
Yeah, I think in what area are you talking there?
Yeah, I'm talking about in Minnesota and North Dakota.
Yeah, I think that's been a problem all year trying to get some of the freight that they needed up there, and I think it's probably improving some, but the weather has affected some of that too, as far as ability to move stuff, and there's been some problems with some flooding in that.
And once again, can you come back to the wheat for me? I want to round it out with this one just real quickly. You mentioned that wheat in the Deep South was not bad, although they had some vomitox, and that would be in soft red winter wheat. And that supposedly is in about half the crop in the southern part of the state, according to the plant pathologist here. Will we see some of that put pressure on the corn market if... will there be enough of it that it puts enough pressure on the market as it turns into feed wheat rather than going into the milling process?
I don't know. It's kind of the thing that you go through on a lot of this, Todd, and I guess the reaction I'm kind of seeing from some producers is just go ahead and bin the wheat, take care of it themselves rather than taking the discounts at the elevator right now. And, a person that has sizable amounts of acreage, I'm saying. And then, once the panic part of it kind of gets through and they can handle the situation better, it seems like a lot of times that may be the way to go. So I don't know that I see that putting a lot of pressure on the corn nearby here.
The cattle on feed numbers came out. They were fairly neutral on Friday afternoon, anything that a producer should be doing other than locking in prices maybe of their input supplies?
Well, I think you got to look. I was looking with a guy the other day on puts. If you go all the way out to November, I mean, November 15, I think you've got still one in the high 140s on your prices. I don't know. I guess I think you look far out at least to try to get some stuff hedged in for down the road.
Yeah, Bill summed it up there. Put options is probably your best option right now. This cattle market's on fire, and it's going to stay on fire clear into next year.
All right, so I do want to round out this one with one final question for all three of you on new crop, corn, and soybeans. This week, are you friendly, bearish, or bullish? We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
I'm friendly here for the next week or two to see what happens with this weather pattern.
New crop, corn, and soybeans, Wayne Nelson?
Friendly to neutral, I guess, what I would say. I think we can move up into probably the mid-50s, but that 62 and on above is going to be awfully hard fought, especially until after we see the numbers on Friday.
And Bill Maron?
I think you can see a short covering rally nearby, but take advantage of it because I'm bearish long term.
On the phone line with us is Ed Ossett. He's been waiting patiently. He's an ag economist at the University of Minnesota. Ed, I'd ask you if you were friendly, bearish, or bullish the marketplace. But I know for old crop, all you have to say is thou shalt not carry old crop inventories into July for corn. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I like to call the 11th commandment of grain marketing, but I have to give credit to my predecessor, Dr. Stan Stevens here at the university, who coined that phrase. But it's a powerful message that it's really about this transition from old to new crop. The fact that these high nearby prices and these lower new crop prices at some point got to come together. There's nothing magical about July 1 except that it seems to be about that time. Early July seems to be that time when we start to make that correction.
Well, Ed, what would be your advice for a grain marketer on new crop corn then?
New crop corn, I think new crop corn, more than soybeans, more than wheat, has been the most difficult marketing situation in 2014. I say that because even at its best, early in the year and with the May rally, you didn't have an opportunity, I don't think many people had an opportunity to make a new crop sale at something better than their production costs, unless you were on the real low end of that. So it's been difficult, but of course, marketing is sometimes it's not maximizing profits, sometimes it's minimizing losses, and I'm worried longer term, as some of your guests have said there, that by harvest we could be 50 cents lower.
Compared to last year, how is the Minnesota acreage going to end up being? Did we lose a lot of corn acres? Do we have a lot of prevent plant and all this flooding? Where are we really at for the report come Friday?
Well, not so much prevent plant, but boy, we've got some flooding. Rumors out of southwestern Minnesota were of a very old man on a wooden boat with animals on the deck floating by. I mean, we've lost acres in the very southwest corner of Minnesota. South central Minnesota's got a lot of flooding. We've just had a tremendous amount of rain, but we, for the most part, have gotten the crop in.
Bill Mayer, do you have a question for Ed?
Yeah, as you look out here, Ed, I guess I'm going to kind of look even further ahead. Have you started doing anything for the 15 crop, or do you see any opportunities there?
I have not, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't be looking at it right now. I don't think the opportunity is there in corn, and you'd have to refresh my memory. Where is November 15 soybeans?
Give me a moment. I'll tell you, November 15 soybeans are at $12.02¾. They were up a penny for the day.
Mm-hmm. It's it wouldn't bother me if you jumped up and got a little sale off. The good thing about that first sale is I have no problems keeping your attention on the market from that point on.
So, Ed, there in Minnesota, Producers have had a tough time, I know, at least part of the year. How much moving corn out because they didn't have locomotives available in that, I'm assuming, over along the border.
Mm-hmm.
How much corn is left in the bin in that area, do you suppose? And will they be able to move it, or is it going to be stuck there still by the time they get to the harvest season this fall?
They'll be able to move it if they choose to. If they want to.
Well, that's the question. Will they choose to? And I suppose that's really the question at this point. Are we taking last year's crop, and are we going to carry it in?
Well, that's the whole point of the 11th commandment of grain marketing. I'm trying to tell people I wouldn't do that. I don't think it's a wise economic decision, but some people do it every year. It's almost a culture up in the northern plains, our ability to hang on to our grain for a long time. And we're pikers compared to the wheat farmers in the Dakotas. They can hold it for multiple years. They're good at it. But they can move it. The rail problems we've had, they were serious problems all winter, but they're easing as we speak.
Ed, what's your idea on the acreage report coming up here on June 30th?
No biases there. I don't track the number of acres that closely. I think Minnesotans have gotten their crop in for the most part, much better than last year where we had large parts of the southeast corner of the state just didn't get planted, several million acres. But this year, we for the most part, have gotten the crop in.
Ed, what percentage or what price do you think we should make our next soybean sale for new crop at?
Well, I'm already knee-deep on my with my farms and marketing plan. I'm upwards of 60-70% sold, and that's where I would be. I mean, that we've had wonderful opportunities, and it's still there. We've still got November 14 soybeans. Above the $12 mark, I think it's a great opportunity if you haven't started. This market's being kind. It keeps giving us a chance.
You would be at 60 to 70% sold. You're pretty assured that you're going to raise a crop. How do you balance it out? Because many farmers would look at that and say, there's no way that I would be that far along at this time of year.
Well, my answer to that is that's why I buy crop insurance. That's why I'm knee-deep in crop insurance, too. That's how I'm going to protect that end of it. It might be more aggressive than, or probably is too aggressive for some people, but I don't see why we can't be half sold.
Bill Mayer?
Yeah, I'd like to move kind of to the livestock again here, especially on the cattle, because I think it affects the grain markets, too, as we kind of look out here to the future, but what do you see? Do you see the expansion taking place in the cattle market? And when you see these prices of feeder cattle that we have out here, is there any way that people are holding back heifers to, you know, expand?
You know, gentlemen, I have to excuse myself. I'm not a livestock expert. I know it's a big topic and it's a red hot market, but here in Minnesota, it is not a big a commodity for us. It's out there, but it's not as big a one. I don't follow that market as close.
Of course, you're listening to the Commodity Week program for the 20th day of June. That's Ed Ussett. We just heard he's an ag economist at the University of Minnesota. We'll talk with him more in a moment. Our panelists include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or follow us on Twitter. The handle there is @CommodityWeek.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. Now here's Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute's Jim Angel with today's weather forecast.
The statewide average temperature for June so far is 71 degrees, and that's 0.4 degrees above average. The statewide average rainfall is 4 inches, which is just shy of the average June rainfall of 4.2 inches. Amounts of 5 to 9 inches were common across the state. The highest total so far is 9.89 inches at Dixon, Illinois. The National Weather Service released their latest monthly and seasonal outlooks. For Illinois, we have nearly equal chances of above, below, and near average temperatures and precipitation over the next 3 months. In other words, there is not much of an increased risk for droughts or floods or heat or cold at this time. However, the northern Corn Belt could be saddled with increased chances of below-average temperatures for this summer, including the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. The National Weather Service forecast for this weekend and next week could be summarized as warm, humid, with a chance of rain nearly every day. Highs on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday will range from the low 80s in the north to the low 90s in the far south. Temperatures will be moderate later in the week, with highs on Tuesday through Thursday in the 70s in the north and in the mid-80s in the south. There is a chance of rain every day. Rainfall totals could be heavy at times with potential amounts of 2 to 4 inches. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks to Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Here the way the numbers finished in Chicago for the week on the trade. Friday to Friday, corn posted a reversal up in the nearby July contract. The high at $4.53¾ for the week. The low at $4.35½. July settled 6¼ cents higher at $4.53¼. December corn at $4.52, up 4½ cents Friday to Friday. In the soy complex, a reversal up in the nearby July at $14.15¾, a dime higher. The top at $14.35½ for the week, the low at $13.93½. And the November contract or new crop soybeans posted an outside up at $12.31½. That was a dime and a quarter higher. July bean meal at $4.59.20, down $8.70. July bean oil at $40.13, up 44. Wheat futures finished the soft red July at $5.85¼, down 0.75 cents, topped out at $5.98 for the week and bottomed at $5.76¾. And the hard red winter wheat in the July at $7.20¾ finished 7½ cents higher. August live cattle at $146.32½, finished down 30 cents. August feeders at $206.87½ per 100 pounds, $1.27½ lower on the week. Friday to Friday closes. And the lean hogs at $129.15, also in the August contract, finished $2.12½ lower. And that's a look at the numbers and the weekly changes from the CME Group in Chicago.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's continue our discussion now with Ed Ussett, ag economist at the University of Minnesota. Wayne Nelson, you have a question for Ed?
Do you think China's ever going to approve the MIR-162, or is that just going to be a continual little thing for them to use whenever they want to not take the corn they bought?
These are...
That's outside of the realm of what you follow for the most
part? It's a
little
outside the realm, yeah. I do have thoughts there. You know, China... this is what makes them difficult to trade with, and you have to be a big player to deal with them, because some of these things, I used to be in the grain business. I don't know how you can sleep at night when you're exporting to someone who just on a whim can send the ship back. It makes for a very difficult trading environment.
Ed, for the grain producer or landlord or farm manager, whoever's got grain to market, could you share with us maybe one simple thing to do to make the marketing process go a little bit smoother and easier?
Well, I try to keep it as simple as possible. I try and get people in the noise of the day to be constantly looking ahead. I appreciated getting the question about 2015. Even though I haven't done anything, doesn't mean that a person shouldn't be looking ahead at all times. too many producers, we get hung up on the last bad sale we made. And, of course, over the course of the year, we're going to make a number of sales that we can look back and say, geez, I guess I was a month or two early there or a month or two late there. I could have gotten more. I could have done this. And I try and get producers, forget about the sales you made last year and look ahead to what you need to do in the year ahead. So my one thought is look ahead and keep looking ahead.
One final question for you, since we know how far along you are on soybean sales. We're going to look back. How far along are you on corn sales for 2014?
You know, I swallowed hard. Now, keep in mind that these are all on my mythical farms that I post marketing plans on. I don't have a real farm, which makes it a lot easier, by the way, guys, if it's not real. But on 2014 corn, back in May, despite the fact that prices were below production costs, I screwed up the courage and made a couple of sales out about 20-25% of production.
All right.
That's where I stand, and I'm worried about it.
Okay, and one final thing. If folks want to follow you, they can do that online. What should they Google to look you up?
Google Ed Ussett, U-S-S-E-T. That'll lead you to my blog. It'll lead you to a whole host of things. And probably my email, and they can send me a note that way, too.
Okay, and the name of the blog again is?
Ed's World.
Ed's World, right. That's what I was thinking. Ed's World. Ed Ussett, thank you so much. We do appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thank you.
Ed Ussett is an ag economist at the University of Minnesota. Joins us here on our Commodity Week program. Time for a final word from our panelist in studio. Let's hear first from Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities.
I like Ed's operation. Continue to look forward. There's always another market, another day.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, we saw a little bit of a technical bounce here on Friday. I think that that's going to give us an opportunity to maybe add to our sales and get caught up during the next week.
And Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing will let you round things out.
I'd agree with Wayne on the chance to maybe see a little bit of a short covering bounce. I've been waiting for that. A week from Monday, we've got that stocks and acreage report, and I think it's really important that a person get lined up before then, because we typically have had some kind of breakout one way or the other after that report.
Again, our thanks to Bill Merritt, Strategic Farm Marketing from here in Champaign County, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, for joining us on this Friday, June 20 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Remember, you can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or follow us on Twitter, at Commodity Week. You can also follow Dave Dickey there, too. His handle is at David A. Dickey. Have a great week.